on record in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, Jesus said, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt." In other words, the root and the tree determine the type of fruit that is produced on that tree. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Notice the tree is known by his fruit. Now that represents the person. The person in question, in discernment, is going to be known by the fruit that comes out of that person's life. Speaking of the pattern of one's life, Jesus taught that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and that a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Matthew 7:15 through 20, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or devouring wolves. You shall know or discern them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" I think we get the point agriculturally. You're not going to go to a thorn bush and find the fruit of grapes. You're not going to go among thistles and find figs or the fruit of figs. "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Again, Jesus finishes by saying, "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." In the next verse, Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So good fruit is seen only in those who actually obey Jesus. In fact, that's going to be the only people that are eternally with him. Matthew 7, verse 21, again, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord," in other words, they claim he's their Lord, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." You see, it's only those who do the will of the Father which is in heaven who are going to be in heaven with the Father, the Son, and the saints of the ages. It doesn't matter how people love to call anyone who teaches the essential of obedience works-based preachers, or they call this a lordship gospel. And that's because they don't want to make Jesus the very Lord of their life. In fact, they're gutless moral cowards who cover their sins instead of confessing them and getting free of them. And they teach their prey the same thing. They teach their prey that anyone who teaches that you actually have to walk with Jesus and have a real life, a crucified life with the Son of God after true repentance and being born again, is actually a works-based teacher or is teaching a lordship gospel. Okay, so we're talking about fruit and the life that bears good fruit. Jesus said in John 15 that if we abide in him after being born again, if we remain and continue in vital union with him, we will be producing fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Jesus commands his people to know. That means to discern people by their fruits and doctrines, to be fruit inspectors, first in their own lives and then in all others. Personally, I fail to find anywhere that Jesus and his apostles instructed any follower of Jesus to go find a local church and plug in. Hebrews 10:25, which speaks of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is peddled by pastors today who seek a loyal following. They are building a church business. Instead of seeking to fulfill their God-given duties to establish the hearers in the faith, to ground them in God's word and the worship of Christ, and to equip them for the work of the ministry, etc. Those are the duties, as stated in Scripture, of God-fearing elders. Otherwise, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Does the Bible ever say to go find a church? No. Those who are born again are already God's church, the people of God, which simply means his called out people. More biblically, should we not simply be the church, be Christ's church, to walk as his disciples daily? This seems to be the pattern we see among the earliest followers of Jesus throughout the book of Acts, etc. The authentic remnant or elect of Christ do not patronize false teachers, lest they be judged with them, according to 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, where it says that if we bid Godspeed to false teachers, those who bring another gospel, a false gospel, we will receive the same judgment that they are going to receive, which is eternal damnation. So refusing to sit under, to condone, to bid Godspeed to the false gospel and false doctrines and false teachers and wolves of the modern church today is not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Instead, it's obedience to God who mandates that we know them by their fruit and that we mark them and that we earnestly contend against them. And he warns us that anyone who bids them Godspeed is going to be punished with them. 2 John verse 10 and 11. If you are prone to throw up Hebrews 10:25 to advocate for going to church weekly, considering where you learned that from. In churches, right? Well, of course. Funny, you probably don't even have 10 Bible verses in most cases memorized, and yet to the benefit of your pastor, you know that one. But what does it really tell us? What does this reveal? What's wrong with this picture? What happens when people get loyal to a local church, especially in this late hour where great apostasy was foretold? And all Bible believers, true Bible believers, see openly transpiring. Here, in a minute, we're going to read through a few obvious things that happen when someone joins a local church in this modern day, in these last days before Jesus returns. But first, I want to read the following. At most local churches, it's more about the organization and the horizontal relationships. That's how they rope you in, is that you get community, because America is so lacking in community. I'm living here in Mexico now. These people are knit together. They have a beautiful community everywhere you go. People get out. They eat together on the street. They sit together. They're always together with family and friends. It's a beautiful thing. And so in America, with the vacuum of a lack of community, these churches use that to their advantage. And yes, community is important. When you're going to gather with other supposed disciples of Jesus, it's to worship Jesus first and foremost. And then after that fact is going to be the horizontal or person-to-person relationships. That's what Jesus taught, is that the cross is first upward, you to God and God to you, and then outward. It's first upward. And so most churches today push the community aspect. It's more about the organization and your relationship with others than it is with God. It's plastic, it's shallow, and it's part of their business plan. It's how they capitalize on and monetize the lack of community, the loneliness of the people. And make no mistake, this is all learned as part of their business plan to build their churches in their communities in seminary. That's where they learn this. And if you've ever been a part of that, you know just how empty it is. And yet they run all of these testimonies of these different people. They get to promote their church business because that's really what it is. It's a franchise to make money, period. It's not based on truth. And so they use that, and then they use the people. These are down and out people that are lonely, that have needs, and they just migrate to where people will sit around and talk and so-called connect with them, but it's pretty plastic, it's very shallow, and it's not real and authentic relationships. And anyone who's been a part of that can probably testify to the same. And so we should seek God on our own. Memorize His Word. Pore over the Holy Scriptures every morning in the King James Bible, putting God first in your life. And stop depending on a so-called church that mere men have set up and pretend to represent Christ and His gospel. Always remember that God gave us His written word so that we would not be deceived by the many false prophets who are leading many into eternal destruction. They are deceiving many. Matthew 24:11. And that's why we have the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And so the many false prophets among us today sacrifice Christ on the altar of their own personal greed. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Notice, many false prophets are going out into the world. So notice, here are a few obvious things that happen when someone joins a local church today. They become proud of their pastor and friends at that gathering. And it's all by design, as they make idols out of the shepherds. Zechariah 11:17 warns us about idol, I-D-O-L, shepherds. Another thing, they are not learning the Word of God itself, because they are simply being led by a wolf and a conglomerate of wolves who has conspired to ensnare them in a false gospel and make them a faithful church member. And they foster their allegiance toward the other leaders and toward the association those people have with that so-called church. They don't build a desire and a fear of God to know and worship the Lord in the saints of God by preaching the original gospel with no apology, but rather they make them loyal and they whet their appetite and seduce them to become faithful church members. Well, hell is full of faithful church members. Jesus didn't say, go join a church. He said, repent, put your faith in me, and follow me to the end of your life. Endure to the end. And if you don't, you're going to be cast into hell. If you don't abide in Christ, you don't remain in Him on His stated terms, which does not include going to find a church, then you will not be with Him. You're not following Christ. You're following the lie that you need to have a local church, especially a fake local church, which jeopardizes your soul, which this message is designed to expose. Notice, right after Jesus said that only those who endure to the end shall be saved, He says, this gospel, the original gospel that He gave of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And who is it that is preaching the gospel today? It's those who are enduring to the end. You know, it's amazing how many people claim to be Christians and are members of these local churches that we are exposing in this message, and the danger of being a part of those lukewarm, that means hellbound, congregations. Revelation 3:15-16. Jesus said that He is going to spew or reject the lukewarm out of His mouth. Think about it. How many good church members do you personally know who are not lukewarm? Probably not many. How many of them are fulfilling the Great Commission? Like zero, none of them. All they do is congregate once a week on Sunday, and they're proud of themselves for being a member of a church that's not even in the kingdom of Christ. If it were a part of the kingdom of Christ, it would be fulfilling the stated will of Christ. The Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature, to the lost. They would be enduring to the end in the mandated Great Commission. They prove not to be of Christ by not doing so. If these churches were truly of God, they would be enduring to the end, including fulfilling the Great Commission he mandated. This is all found right here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 and 14. The fruit is clear. Regrettably, they don't even preach the gospel. They don't share. They don't communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They live their life without any concern for their fellow man going to hell. So if you're enduring to the end, it's obvious because you've got your hand to the plow of the work of God. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, Luke 9:62, and Jesus commanded you and I as his followers not to go to church every Sunday, but go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. Are you, my friend, preaching the gospel, or are you a counterfeit who has no desire and is showing no action to obey Christ's Great Commission command? Our Lord said that if we are ashamed of him, if we do not confess him before men, he will not confess us before the Father, but rather he will deny us before the Father. The Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you. Through what? How do people get spoiled or ruined? How do their souls become ensnared again with sin and Satan? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, in other words, human reasoning instead of Scripture. And how are you and I going to know if we're being deceived if we don't know the Word itself? Well, we're not. If God isn't important enough to you to learn His Word and to live by it, then you didn't get saved. You're not saved. Beware lest any man spoil or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. These things are just passed down from generation of conspiring wolves from one generation to the next. After the rudiments or thinking and reasoning of the world, and not after Christ, not after the Word of God. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So notice what you're going to learn and what you're going to witness and what many of you may be witnessing now after having been a church member. You joined a church, is that you are not, and neither are others, becoming soul winners. Does anybody listening to me even know anybody that's winning souls, that's actually evangelizing, or that's preaching the gospel to the lost? That's just how absolutely apostate the so-called professing church is today. They have no concern, intention, or plan to obey Christ's Great Commission. That you don't even have pastors who will witness to lost souls on a daily basis. When the Bible tells pastors to preach the word, and also in the same passage, to do the work of an evangelist. That simply means to evangelize the lost and to be an example. They don't lead by example. They're not leading anyone to Jesus. They're not even sowing the seed of the gospel in anyone else in the lost in their community. And when they do, or they pretend to do so, it's pretty lame. It's pretty lame. So they aren't soul winners themselves, much less fostering that in preaching the command of Jesus, the Great Commission command, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. So clearly they are doing their own thing and not God's thing. God's thing is the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Anyone not doing such is not in the will of God, clearly. Imagine with me how darkened in heart someone who has been saved has to become and be to go to sleep at night, having not even ministered, not even witnessed the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ to even one person. Unbelievable darkness and callousness of heart. And this is clearly what is demonstrated in such coldness toward God and our fellow man. And Jesus taught that if you're ashamed of me and you do not confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before my Father. I'm going to be ashamed of you. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Luke 19:10. Another thing you'll notice about church membership, that the people, the prey, are seldom, if ever, taught or established with personal knowledge of Scripture. The paramount truth that God's Word itself is the final divine authority on all matters of the Christian faith and the practice thereof. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. Church members today are seldom, if ever, warned to love not the world, or that they are separated from God if they do love the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't know how that could be any clearer. Another thing that we see among church members is that they are not in the Word daily for themselves, and that means they've backslidden. God is still a hobby to them. He's still compartmentalized into some 1 or 2 hour church service on Sunday morning. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Today's local church members are not taught that Jesus Christ is the grand subject of all of Holy Scripture. No, they're taught to go into the Bible and look for promises for themselves. They don't go into the Bible looking for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the very grand subject of all of Holy Scripture. They're just using the Bible to try to find ways to get more stuff for themselves or get themselves out of some predicament instead of getting to know the Lord, fearing, worshiping, and loving Him. They're never taught the value God places upon good works in those He saves by His grace. Those who are saved by grace or ordained to live out and perform the good works of God for His glory. And that's what we read throughout Scripture, including Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, which ends this way, that those who are saved by grace are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that they should walk in them. Also, church members today never hear that the Great Commission Jesus gave to His people is vital, it's essential, it's necessary. And if we aren't obeying it, we're not in the will of God. No, local wolves in sheep's clothing, pretending to be pastors, are too busy promoting themselves and their own brand, their own ministry, their own church. Local church members today are not being equipped for the work of the ministry, which is the stated duty for any authentic overseer or elder in the body of Christ, according to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, which says that God gave gifts unto men, and they are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers, perhaps the five dimensions of servant elders. And then He said He gave these elders for what? For the perfecting of the saints, the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That includes the Great Commission for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, also, modern church members are never taught the fact that God holds each person he saves personally responsible, personally accountable for following Jesus daily through the crucified life. Luke 9, 23 and 24, etc. Modern day church members are not in the Word for themselves, and the pastors have led them to this biblical illiteracy because those pastors are building a church business, and dumb people, unbiblical people, are easy prey. They're easy targets to continue to rob and to deceive them of their money and of their eternal souls. Many of you, like myself, have met numerous people through the years who are extremely strong about their church membership, but those same people do not even know the Word of God. They couldn't take one topic in the Word of God and speak for 5 minutes on it from Scripture. Unbelievable. They are willingly, deliberately, biblically illiterate, and God says, "My people shall be destroyed for lack of knowledge," because they have refused, they have rejected the knowledge of God. Hosea 4, verse 6. Also, modern church members barely or never hear the essential message of the cross, which Jesus requires for those who will follow him. Luke 9, 23 and 24, Romans 6, Galatians 2, 20, etc. These church members are never warned of going to hell if they die in sin, because they're taught the fairy tale heresy of once saved, always saved in most cases. They are never taught that God is holy, 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 and that he requires that those who are his be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. They are never informed that only those who overcome sin and Satan and the world will be with Jesus eternally, which is exactly what Christ told each and every one of the seven churches of Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Okay, also, modern church members are never taught that saving grace without exception always results in good works and overcoming sin, teaching us, quote, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is, the grace of God, the saving grace of God. If somebody is truly saved, they are learning to deny self, deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:11 and 12. Now, isn't it interesting that we got a lot of churches and pastors that claim that they are grace teachers, and yet they always intentionally dodge out this passage in Titus 2:11 and 12, which clearly tells us that any and all who are truly saved are living a life of crucified life, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:11 and 12. Modern church members are taught the demonic lie of eternal security, which is Satan's first teaching and irrefutably led to the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. The mountains of warning in Scripture are intentionally hidden from the congregational dupes or prey who are willingly biblically ignorant, having rejected the knowledge and authority and Word of God. And that's why they still patronize these false churches and false teachers. Modern church members are not taught that only those who remain in Christ to endure to the end are going to be saved with him eternally, just like the five foolish and the five wise virgins in Jesus' parable of Matthew 25, 1 through 13, where the door was shut, the doorway, the door into the bridal chamber of eternal glory with the Lamb of God, the bridegroom, will be shut in the face of all the rebels, all who do not continue with Christ after being saved by Christ. Jesus said in John 15, 6, that if you don't remain, abide in him, continue in him, you will be cast into the fire. And that could only mean one fire, and that's hell. John 15:6. Modern church members are seldom, if ever, warned to come out from this sinful world in the way they live. In 2 Corinthians 6:14-7:1, where the writer of Corinthians, which is the Apostle Paul, says the following, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Notice the conditions there to being received by the Lord. Then he finishes, "And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Notice, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And notice on that point that Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, without any blemish of sin, but a church, a people that is holy and, again, without blemish. Now, when is the last time you heard that message from Ephesians 5 in a modern church message, where the pastor declared the word of God with no respect or persons and declared that Jesus is coming back for a people that are holy and without any blemish of sin? They have confessed all sin. They do not allow sin to remain in their life if they even taste of it. They repent, they return to God, and they confess it and are cleansed. That is exactly the church Jesus is coming back for, and we never hear that message in the modern church world. Okay, also, modern church members, 90% or more, are lukewarm at best, which means they are hellbound if they do not repent. Revelation 3:15-16, where Jesus said, "Because you are lukewarm, you're not hot or cold, I'm going to spew or reject you out of my mouth. I'm going to vomit you out." Okay, so modern church members are never taught and established in the truth that repentance, to repent, is the actual first word of the gospel. Not believe, but repent. It was the first word out of the mouth of John the Baptist, Jesus, and the Apostle Peter in their ministries. It was repent. We see that in Matthew 3:2, 4:17, and Acts 2:38, etc. "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Acts 17:30-31. It's an absolute necessity, a condition for being saved and staying saved. When needed, you must repent. Turn back to the Lord. Turn to the Lord initially and continually walk with the Lord. And when needed, turn back to the Lord. That's what repentance is. And confess all sin. Modern church members are merely a participant of a Christian social club, if you will, which is seen nowhere in Scripture. The fellowship we see in the book of Acts, such as at the end of the second chapter, is completely different than the so-called fellowship, which isn't real fellowship, that we see in modern churches today. Their loyalty and allegiance is toward the pastor, this choir or singing group, the music, the fellow congregants, and not to Christ. They are never taken through the volumes of Holy Scripture where God judged his very own people who backslid, such as in Numbers 16, where God swallows up, I think it's 2,500 Israelites who went straight into hell for their sin. How about Numbers 25, Romans 11:20-22, 1 Corinthians 10, the five sins that kept the children of Israel out of their promised land. Promised land means eternity with the Lord in heaven. Sin will keep you out of heaven. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Now, many of you listening, as we come in for a close here, have never heard these things in your so-called local church, and you're not in the Word yourself, so you don't realize or haven't realized till maybe now that you are being completely misled by the very person that you trust is leading you in the right ways of the Lord. And that's the problem. You're trusting men and not God. Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Let me read it to you again. Jeremiah 17:5, for thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. You lean on the flesh of other people, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So all your church going that you thought was a beneficial thing has absolutely been a deception. They are taught, modern church members are taught to become dependent on their church affiliation and church attendance, their connection with the pastor and the organization and the people, and their church attendance is what's emphasized, and not the Lord, not knowing the Lord and walking with Him. And what has that relationship between the people and the churches and their pastors ever produced other than bad fruit? It certainly hasn't produced people that share the gospel, God forbid. I mean, again, how many people do you know that are sharing and communicating the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And yet, many of those people are what? Good church members who claim to be following Jesus. Like anything else, we know the modern church by its fruit. Jesus says in Matthew 15:8, this people draweth nigh or close unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Okay, so modern church members are not daily seeking the face of the Lord, which the Bible commands us to do. For example, 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Also, modern church members are never taught that the eternal glory that we have that lies ahead with Jesus requires decisive cutting off of the hand and plucking out of the eye of any sin that defiles them in the eyes of a holy God. According to Mark 9:43-49, where Jesus said, cut off the hand, pluck out the eye that causes you to offend, to be in sin in the eyes of a holy God, lest your whole body be cast into hell, where the fire is never quenched, and where their worm or their consciousness never dies. That's the end of Mark 9. Now, also, when the Bible is literally read, 99% of the time in modern churches, they are reading from a Vatican-corrupted fake Bible and don't even know it. In other words, they're not reading the King James Bible, the real Word of God, for the English-speaking peoples. Also, modern church members are barely, if at all, different in their lifestyle and their fruit than the lost souls around them. That could be easily observed. Okay, the last point. Due to their own refusal to truly repent and walk with Jesus daily for themselves, these counterfeits, these modern church members, some of them even got saved initially, but they have been sent strong delusion and are in darkness and deception, and therefore they remain in the congregation of the dead. Proverbs 21:16. On their way to hell and believing that they're going to be all right and they're going to go to heaven because they go to church, they follow this so-called pastor, but they're being deceived and they don't even realize it because they can't rightly divide the word of truth and discern what's true and false by judging people and doctrines by the fruit, because they're not studying daily to show themselves approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember Isaiah 9:16. This is nothing new, my friends. The prophet Isaiah said, for the leaders of this people, cause them to err or go into error. They mislead them. And they that are led of them, the prey, the followers, the church attenders, are destroyed. Isaiah 9:16. Elsewhere, Hosea 4:6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it's because they have rejected knowledge, the prophet Hosea says. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because, here it is, thou hast rejected knowledge. That is, they reject the knowledge of the word of God. Then he says, I will also reject thee. So those who reject to know God through his word and obey him are going to be rejected. It couldn't be any plainer. And as we close, remember, today's modern churches, pastors, congregants, and members have already bowed their knee to Satan by their disdain for the Lord's truth, the Word of God. They use fake Bibles. They have fake pastors. They worship a fake Jesus, and their churches are fake. Notice in the following passage that God takes it personally when a person doesn't love him and therefore his truth, his word. They don't love him enough to know him themselves with their own eyes and faculties taking in and ingesting and devouring his words and walking in his truth. Notice 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And here's why. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, that's why they're turned over. That's why strong delusion is sent to them. To anyone who does not receive the love of the truth of God. Jesus said, thy word is truth. He spoke to the Father in John 17:17. Thy word is truth. When you love God, you study his word, you walk with him. You don't let men lead you just because they're supposedly spiritual leaders. I mean, how many stories are we going to have to see before we stop trusting men? I mean, there's not a day that goes by when pastors, so-called pastors, are being arrested for heinous crimes. Unbelievable. When are we going to wake up, saints, and truly follow the one who came and died for us, was crucified on Calvary's cross, buried and raised again from the dead? And he's coming back for a people who are worshiping him, not their pastor, not their so-called church, where they get a little good feeling every Sunday morning. You know, it's all about the music. It's all about their association with being a member of that so-called church and like their little Christian club. And nobody's being won to Jesus through these counterfeits. That's bad fruit. Jesus commanded us to go preach the gospel to the lost and to win lost souls to him. If you're not doing that, you're out of the will of God, period. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It's only those who receive the love of the truth that are going to be saved. Those who put away the word of God from themselves count themselves unworthy of everlasting life. Acts 13:46. And he finishes 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this cause, the reason is that they don't love the truth, God shall send them strong delusion. For what reason? They didn't love the truth. They didn't have the love of the truth. They didn't receive it. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Unquote. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. Nellene Richard, Sister Nellene, says the following. Wolves, that is wolves in sheep's clothing that Jesus warned us about, are able to lead many astray simply because they, the prey, don't want to be bothered with studying the Bible, where all truth is found, unquote. Amen. Sister Karen Cochran says, they are under such strong delusion, it doesn't even matter if something is biblical or not to them. A strong delusion sent by God, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, God lets them reap consequences for not wanting and loving His truth, and yet rather having pleasure in unrighteousness. She finishes, she says, through repeated exposure to the lies of Satan, they are desensitized and their consciences become seared as a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4:2. That is why they are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4:14, unquote, Sister Karen Cochran. Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone who has heard this message, Lord. You must be working in them because they heard what you said in your word in this message. And they were warned and stayed all the way through. Lord, we pray according to Hosea 10:12. That we would sow to ourselves in righteousness, we would reap in mercy, we would break up our fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several, many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.